Everybody, welcome to the East to West WLS Struggle Bus Podcast. We are so excited to bring you the second edition. And if you are watching this podcast, you are noticing there are some new faces here. We have expanded in East to West WLS. We are so excited to bring on three new crew members. These are ladies that we met through the Instagram universe. They have all gone through weight loss surgery and they are stoked to be a part of East to West, and we are thrilled to have them. So I'm going to very quickly introduce you to them, and then we're going to dive into some struggles of this community. All right, Becca, you're up first.
Hi guys, I'm Becca. I am from Connecticut, and I had VSG on October 14th this year. So I am fresh out.
And how much weight have you lost?
I am down since surgery 25 pounds.
Boom! Nice job. You are doing good. Awesome. All right. Our next East West crew member, Miss Ashley.
Hey guys, my name's Ashley. I'm from Kentucky. I actually had gastric bypass of October 13th of this year. So like Becca, I'm fresh out. I'll be 7 weeks post-op tomorrow. And in total, I've lost 138 pounds.
Freaking amazing. Amazing. And she has not lost that in 7 weeks. Ashley was on her pre-op diet for a year and she stuck to it like a champ. So, I mean, amazing progress all around. You ladies are just doing phenomenal. And last but certainly not least, Natalie.
Hey guys, I'm Natalie. I had VSG done September 28th of this year. I'm officially 2 months post-op today, which is awesome. I've lost a little over 35 pounds since surgery.
Oh my gosh, you guys are just rocking it. It's been really refreshing for Jason and I to get to know you more as humans. I am 16 months post-op, Jason is 8 months post-op. So, you know, the further you get removed from your post-op date, the kind of, you know, you forget some things that happen along the way. And it's been so nice to talk to you guys and just learn and listen from you, because it really brings back our own personal experiences. And it just, you know, it just lets us know how important this community is. So we cannot thank you ladies enough for joining the East to West world. We are thrilled that you are a part of the team.
Definitely.
So just to give you a little bit of background on Jason and I, he and I, like I said, we both had VSG surgery. I'm down 120 pounds. Jason is down some ridiculous amount. Like how much, Jason?
164 as of today.
Ugh, I just want to strangle, happy murder you. So the reason that Jason and I started East to West is that we had a phenomenal experience with our surgeons, but life after surgery, we found a gaping hole in the support that was offered to us. Jason and I met at one of the virtual bariatric meetups that I was hosting. We became fast friends. And then we realized that our conversations were really powerful for our own recovery. And we decided to start recording them. So we started the East to West WLS kind of world and the podcast. And then as we grew, we realized there was another hole in the community, and it had to do with in the moment support. So we all struggle with things. They just kind of pop up out of nowhere. And sometimes you just don't know where to turn, right? Like you realize like, oh my gosh, I'm really struggling with this, or this is hard, or I wasn't expecting this. And there's nowhere to go with that issue, concern, with that struggle. So this group got together and we thought, what if we offered that exact type of support? So now we record a weekly podcast that's just dedicated to our struggles, and we call it the East to West Struggle Bus. We also still record kind of our long form podcast that deep dives into all things, weight loss surgery. But this specific branch of the podcast is just dedicated to struggles in the moment. So if you are listening or you are watching, you can submit your struggles to us. You can go to our Anchor homepage and leave us a voicemail, and then we can actually put it right into the podcast. We would love to hear your voice and hear your struggle. You can send us a direct message. We post things on our stories. We post things on our feed. There's all kinds of ways that you can let us know, hey, I'm really struggling. And then what we do is we take your struggles and we anonymously share them in this community just to gather support and feedback from the people who are kind of living it with you. So that's the premise. Short and sweet. But like I said, if podcast is not your favorite modality of learning, we do record this in Zoom. So you can pop over to YouTube, search East, the number 2_WLS, and our beautiful YouTube channel will appear. And you should definitely be watching us, because we're all adorable and we are very, we talk a lot with our hands and we're very filled with expressions. So if you like to watch, I highly recommend that, you check us out there. So, okay, enough of the fluff, time for the struggle. So somebody from our community a few days ago sent us a message and they said, hey, I am really struggling with sugar. All I want to do is eat sugar all the time. And they are post-op. And I think we can all, I see Jason nodding his head. Yes, we're all going, All right, team. So what type of support can we offer this person who is struggling to stop consuming so much sugar?
First, they need to know they're not alone, definitely, because we all struggle with that. Like, everybody sees something they know they shouldn't eat and they really want to. I'll allow myself on Thanksgiving when I had 3 pieces of pumpkin pie. Now, it took me like 4 hours to eat said 3 pieces of pumpkin pie, but, you know, never the one to quit. I sure powered through all three of them. So, you know, it's, you know, mama didn't raise no quitter over here. I got no quit in me. Nope. So, it's definitely something that's going to come up. It's one of those things that we're all going to face at one time or another. It's really not even about if you give in to the craving to have it. It's really about how you bounce back from that really makes it, whether or not it's a kind of like what Wendy said in one of the times we've recorded with her, is whether or not it's a planned eating event or if it's really just a slip up in what you do. If you plan for that, like I did on Thanksgiving Day, you know, you make alterations to your daily diet that are going to kind of pad that extra, you know, sugar dose that you're going to have, or you spend the next couple of days going after to make up for it like I did. So Thanksgiving Day, as a result of my 3 pieces of pie, my ass gained 3 pounds. Well deserved 3 pounds, but it was a pound per piece of pie, which I thought was kind of shitty. But you know what? I took it on the chin because that's what it is. Now, cut to today, I've lost 5 pounds versus the 3 that I originally gained. So you make those small adjustments and kind of just go on about the rest of your days and you can get it back. It's not something that's the end of the world. It's not the end of your journey. You're not just going to, you know, forego it all because you had a slip and had a little bit of sugar. Some people have to have that cutoff where they just can't do it at all to be able to keep forging on their journey. For those people, I would definitely say abstinence is the best way to do it. If you know that that's going to lead to a gateway of just slipping and sliding and you're just going to tumble all the way back to the bottom, don't do it because it is not worth it. If you can take a little bit of the taste and then take the, you know, next few days, put the work in and get it off, not that big of a deal. Like for myself, I made the adjustments, did what I had to do, came out on the other side smelling like a rose, not going to need to touch pie till next year. So I'm good.
Ashley, you were going to say something. What support do you have?
I was just going to say, like, what types of sugary things are they craving? Because depending on what you're craving, you could be, you might need something else. Or, I mean, processed sugar, a lot of food is meant to be addicting. So abstinence would be something that I would recommend, but only from if you're like me. Because if I have it, it's a downward spiral. I'll eat every bit of it.
And you bring up a really good point. We just had a very powerful conversation with Wendy Rawlings for the podcast. And one of the questions that was asked from this community is, you know, my doctor said that abstinence is the only way to overcome food addiction. And her advice was, it was a little bit interesting, but she just said abstinence is the very last resort, right? It seems silly to say, well, I'm going to abstain from this big swath of food when we know what a challenge that can create. Sometimes abstaining for something makes it worse. So I think it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, really great point, Ashley. Like you have to ask yourself, okay, what is it that I'm craving? And then I think we can find healthier alternatives to something that we're craving instead of just going to what we used to eat, right? Like if we're craving a candy bar, we could have a Built Bar or a Dive Bar. If we're craving hot chocolate, we could have a protein heavy hot chocolate, right? We could have retreat drinks. There are options out there where we can get the same sweet kick without throwing us off of the bandwagon. Yeah, Nat.
Yeah, I am definitely a sugar addict. I mean, that's really, I talk to my doctor, and that's like something that he has always said of me. And for me, I found that if I kind of what you're saying, if I take something like candy, I, you know, chocolate is, you know, Snickers is like my downfall. And if I can find something that still has the flavor profile, still, you know, maybe tastes like a Snickers, it's not, you know, it kind of tricks your brain into thinking that you're still having it. But, you know, at the same time, I think, like Jason said, you know, planning out like, okay, this is an event that I'm having this week. I'm not going to have sugar until that moment. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to, you know, savor it. And then I'm going to move on. Because I think abstinence has led me personally to binges and things in the past. So like for me this weekend, or this last week at Thanksgiving, you know, I had several pieces of pie throughout my week. I'm not going to lie about that. But I had one in the morning, you know, with my, as my breakfast. And that was a choice that I made. I had it, I enjoyed it. And then the rest of the day I moved on and I had my protein and water and all of that. And I think that was really eye-opening for me because I was like, oh, hey, I can have things that I enjoyed, but you just have to treat it as a moment and then move on.
And that is so powerful, right? Because I know before surgery, I would have a bad meal and I would say, well, I've screwed my whole day. I would give myself permission to eat like crap the rest of the day. And then I would wake up the next morning and I would say like, oh God, well, I've already blown yesterday and it's Wednesday. So I've just screwed the whole week. And then it would turn into, well, now, you know, now my week is going to be garbage. And I would continue that thinking. And it was just a way to give myself permission to eat like crap because I didn't want to say no to myself. But I think what you said is so powerful because it does acknowledge like we can still have moments of indulgence. A moment isn't going to define us or define our weight. But if we turn a moment into something we do every day, then those moments will absolutely define our lives and our identity and our weight. And I think when people are struggling, you know, from based on her comment, it sounds, or I think it was her, it sounds like she's just like all day insatiable, right? Like that's all she wants. And the other thing that I would recommend is that you can't have it in your house. Right? If you have children, your kids can't eat it either. Like everybody needs to help you get to the place where you can say no to these things and not feel like you are deprived. But you know, if you're buying these things and you're bringing them into your house, you're setting yourself up for failure. If you absolutely have to have them in your house, then you need to create some friction between you and that candy. Move it to a really hard place to get to. Keep it out of sight. You know, move it just out of sight, out of mind type of thing. Find ways to get some friction between you and whatever it is you want to consume. And like what you also said, Natalie, it's also super, super powerful to say those things. I'm not going to have this piece of candy now. I'm going to have it tonight, right? Or not today, tomorrow. So you're not saying I'm never going to have it. You're just putting some space between you and what you really want. And if you can just get that moment to say, not today, tomorrow, and then go and indulge in something that's sweet, but bariatric friendly, that's a huge win. And even if you do that every other day, that's okay. I mean, it's better than doing it every moment of every day or 10 times a day, right? The goal is not 100% better right away. The goal is 1% better every single day. And I hope that you know that we're all nodding our heads. We're all living the struggle. You are not alone in this. And I think we covered some really great tips to help our community member. Awesome. Okay, our next struggle. And our next struggle actually hits really close to home because two of our very own, Ashley and Becca, are struggling hardcore this week. So I just want to open up the floor to you two ladies and let us know what you're struggling with and then let us support you. So Ashley, go ahead. Go first.
Okay. My biggest struggle has been meeting my water goals. I have been dehydrated since probably post-op week 2 of surgery. Right out of surgery, I was meeting my goals that my surgeon wanted me to. But then I guess in a sense, it became like just too much for me in a mental way because I also have bipolar disorder. my medicine's not being absorbed as much as it would normally. And so I'm having back and forth episodes. So it's caused me just to kind of get in this mindset of, well, I don't care. And since I don't really feel thirsty, I just keep pushing it off. So it's like, I know I can meet my goal, but I kind of don't want to.
Yes. Right. Well, and I mean, not only are you so fresh out of surgery, right? You just went through a major life change. You've got all that emotion crap that's coming with it. And then on top of that, you are also fighting a diagnosed situation, right? And it's medicated. So you're fighting against two tides that are coming at you with both fists. And I hope you know that no one is armed to deal with this, that you are building up this muscle in the moment and you are doing great. The fact that you're still sitting there with water next to you. So it's not like you're there. And before we started recording, you said a little nugget of something that you had discovered about maybe why it's been such a struggle for you.
Mental block.
So tell us about that. What do you mean when you say mental block?
I guess how would I describe it? Let's see. I know I can do it. I know why I should do it. I know all the benefits of it, but my thoughts, my negativity is just pulling me back into my old mindset. Therefore, I'm just like, well, tomorrow. I'll try again tomorrow. And the more I say that, the more I put it off. So I'm, even though I know I need to do it. So that's why I say it's a mental block.
Mm-hmm. Well, and for those that don't know, you actually had to go to the hospital and receive IV fluids because of your dehydration right before Thanksgiving, right?
Yes. Right before Thanksgiving, I had to go get IV fluids. And they told me that if I didn't start hitting my goals, that it could be weekly, that I'd have to be in there, and it could be multiple times a week. And for some reason, just the mental aspect of it, I guess I'm hoping with me seeing my psychiatrist today and getting my medicine rearranged, that that's going to help me get back to a more healthier state of mind. I don't want to say that it's okay not to do what I'm doing. It's not okay for you not to drink your water, but it's okay to feel like you don't, like, if you don't want to do it, it's okay to feel that way, if that makes sense.
Well,
you still need to drink your water, but it's valid for you not to want to do it.
It's back to that age-old adage, it's okay to not be okay. Like, it's okay for you to sit there and admit the fact that you're not okay and that you are struggling, because honestly, that's what the community is built on. And that's why we started what we've got going on here, specifically for that reason. Like, not only have we all been at a point where we were just like, yeah, I don't really feel like drinking or eating today. I don't really want to do that. You get to a point where you're full up. Like, I can tell you right now, I've been through plenty of days leading up to this week, where I was substituting drinking enough water for eating more meals. I would be like, oh, I should be drinking my water, but guess what? Going for another snack. So that's another 30 minutes. We're going to reset the clock. And it would be like 20 minutes into my 30 minutes. And I'd be like, yeah, but I want to eat this right now. So I'd do that. We'd restart the clock again. And where I should have about another 24 ounces of water down, I would be behind the curve because I wanted to eat another snack or eat another something, whatever I decided to eat at the time. So, I mean, the struggles happen, and it happens for everybody. But like you said, it just depends on whether or not we're able to catch it for ourselves. And if we're going to be honest with ourselves and say, you know, this really is a struggle and I really do need to correct what I'm doing before things get bad. And I do have to go for weekly IV fluids because I'm not hydrating myself the way I should.
Exactly. And well, and over Thanksgiving, I definitely went and jumped on the hydro jug bandwagon. So I'm hoping that helps me get my fluid in, especially spending that much money on something. I'm like, I cannot not use it because that's a lot of money. So I'm hoping that's a motivating factor. And I will say, I'll be 7 weeks out tomorrow, and I do have another struggle, and that's being able to eat enough. I hit maybe 450 calories, and they're like, you're starving yourself. You need to eat like 800 calories. Mm-hmm. So I find myself, like you mentioned, Jason, is I'm substituting all this time that I could be drinking, like, well, I really need to eat. I don't need to get malnourished too. So I'm using that as an excuse to eat more snacks, eat more meals. Like, well, I can do this because my nutritionist said that she was okay with me eating prepackaged protein snacks just because of the fact that I'll be eating something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I find that me focusing on eating is another reason why I've been slacking on drinking.
So Beckett, you and I, or maybe all of us, were having a conversation earlier today. You were struggling with food too, right? You kind of got to the point where you're just like, oh my God, I'm just done with all of it.
Yeah. I'm at the point where I'm like done with food, but also I want to eat all the food.
The struggle is real.
And legitimate.
Yeah. And legitimate. So I'm gonna see if I can address both of these struggles in one fell swoop. I think that the reason that we struggle so much after weight loss surgery in not wanting to do things is it's because that is a very familiar habit for us. Before surgery, we struggled with always wanting to eat something, or we were always depriving ourselves, right? We were always saying, no, I can't do that because I'm on this diet, right? Or I'm doing this, or my stupid body decided it's going to do this and it's all my body's fault, right? We were constantly deflecting. We were constantly depriving ourselves. And now that we're after weight loss surgery, we're going, what the hell? The whole reason I had surgery was so that I never had to feel like this again. And now I'm realizing, what the fuck? I still feel this exact same way. Mm-hmm. And it is devastating. It's devastating, right? Because we've gone through this huge change and we're like, And for the first time, we actually have to come face to face with the reality of our situation. And that is that the surgery is not going to fix what we actually need to work on. And that blows. And when we come to that realization and we go, oh my God, this is what I have to do. Yeah, of course, no shit. We're like, I don't want to do it. I'm out. No. I want to go back to eating all the food. I don't want to drink again. This is stupid, right? You're just like, nope, I'm done. When I was about where you guys are at, I had a very, very dark point in my life. And I've told you guys this, right? I was like, fuck food. I'm never eating again. My husband can fend for himself. I'm living off protein shakes. I'm done. And I think you just have to be angry for a while. You're like going through the grieving process. You're breaking up with your longest and best relationship you have ever had. And that's food. It's true. It's absolutely true. And think about it. That is devastating. That's devastating. But you cannot stop eating and you cannot stop drinking water, right? So what I suggested to Becca today was like, okay, girl, you cannot eat anything until you drink 10 ounces of water, right? And I just said 10 ounces based on, I know where you guys are at. That is like a monumental feat. I know that that's going to take freaking forever, right? But if you want to eat bad enough and you just set that goal for yourself and you say, nope, I'm not going to have this one chicken wing until I have 10 ounces of water. Not only are you going to increase your intake, but you are really going to be hungry and ready for that food when you go to eat it. I think that's a really good trick that you can use to motivate you to eat and to drink more when you don't feel like doing it. And then again, you can't stop eating and you can't stop drinking, especially, I mean, Ashley, you're going to the hospital. This is not good. This is not sustainable, right? Becca, you were like on the verge of clawing somebody's eyes out 24/7. We can't have you going to jail, right? So we have to find solutions. And I really do think that part of the solution is you guys have to do some serious sit downs with yourself. And you have to have a real honest and very painful conversation with yourself. And you got to cry it out. You got to write it out. You got to scratch it out. You got to get it out. and then acknowledge what your steps are going to be moving forward. How are you going to get in the brain space to drink the water that you need to do and eat the food that you need to do, right? Becca, you don't need to eat whatever it is you're craving. Why are you craving it? You don't need it, right? But you're feeling something is missing. You have a huge hole. You literally have a hole in your soul that used to be filled with food. And all you're wanting to do is fill. But you can't fill it that way anymore. So you got to fill it with relationships. You have to fill it with hobbies. You have to feel it with new learning, right? You have to fill it with things that bring you joy. But food ain't going to fix it. We even made that into a graphic. Mm-hmm. Food's not going to fix it. And that sucks to admit because it fixed it before. Why can't I do it now? You can do it now, but y'all want to go back to weighing what you weighed before? No.
I think that's the issue too, is that I have so much extra time to think and feel my feelings that I would normally just not. Yeah.
Well, and that's a big problem that people don't realize. One of the, you know, we talk about the mental aspect of, you know, post-op is so much harder than the physical aspect and the losing the weight and the putting the work in to do that. The hardest part about post-op is the mental aspect of it all. Mm-hmm. And that's what, you know, we just don't talk enough about. And the amount of brain space and capacity that used to be filled up by meals and what you were going to eat and where you were going to get it and how, what you needed to do to get there. You know, now that you don't have that, you've got to keep yourself busy. You've got to be able to come up with different ways, like April said, to kind of keep your mind off of what it is that you're really wanting, because the cravings turn into obsession, turn into that's mm-hmm. all you think about is literally what you're craving, and you don't have a way to back out of it. You honestly feel like you're caught somewhere where everywhere you look and everything you think of is that one thing that you're craving. So you've got to find a way to keep yourself busy in a space or to reach out to somebody. I think one of the best things you could probably try to do, like you guys are really good about reaching out to us and talking it through with us, and we, you know, mm-hmm. go back and forth about it. But accountability in these situations is so key, because not only do you need to find somebody that's going to keep you accountable to yourself, but you have to be accountable to yourself as well. Mm-hmm. Tracking comes into play. All these things come into play, whether you set an alarm to remind yourself to drink, set an alarm yeah. to remind yourself to eat. But yeah. when you put it down in the tracker, you've got to hold your feet to the fire and make sure that you follow through with those things. Because when it's just you, that piece of paper, and whatever it is you want, and it's just y'all three, that paper's going to lose. Eventually, you're going to get up and you're going to go get what it is you feel like you have to have. So these are the times that you really have to put in the hardest effort, dig your heels in, stay true to yourself and your tracker, and hold yourself accountable to, you know, whatever it's going to be. Because at the end of the day, you're the one that has to look at yourself in the mirror and realize that you either gave into that craving and let yourself, you know, fold to it, or you held strong and became the best version of yourself for that day.
I talk about this often, Becca. I think you and I are very similar in this way. All of a sudden, we realize we have all this brain space that was taken up by food before, and now it's free to roam. And that's a great thing, and it's a bad thing. Because if we let our brains go in a wrong direction, it's not good.
Yeah, and I think I struggle a lot with it, because I like Ashley, have actual diagnosed mental health issues with anxiety and depression, and I'm medicated for them.
Yeah.
So it's it's hard.
Yes, it is hard. It's already a struggle. And then when you add on these additional layers, it just makes it even more of a battle. But good news, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but now you're functioning on your full brain capacity, right? Your body's functioning at a healthy level it's never done before. You have the best tool in the world to help you combat it. So even though it feels like, you know, your slow uphill battle before surgery has turned into a straight up alpine climb, you've got all the tools that you need. You have already inside of you, you have a wonderful community that is surrounding you. and you have the brain space to do it, you can do it. You absolutely can do it. It's gonna suck, but it's gonna be it's gonna be worth it. It's absolutely gonna be worth it. And I think focusing on, you know, I always want to say focus on one thing, but you guys are so fresh out of pre-op, you have to focus on two things: food and water, calories, healthy calories, and water. And if you don't do anything else besides those two things in your life, you are on track, because pretty soon you guys are going to notice, oh, I'm doing okay with my water. This is feeling pretty normal. And then you can move on to work on something else. But don't look at the whole huge picture and go, oh my God, I have so many things to work on, and then use that as an excuse to shut down and do nothing. Right? Those two things are all you need to do right now, and give yourself the space and grace to only do those two things. Say no to everything else. Say yes to food and water. Try the tricks, use your tracker, find an accountability partner, rely on this community, and keep talking about what you're experiencing. Natalie, Jason and I have done a crap ton of talking. I know you got a gem to add.
Yeah, I mean, people always ask me like, oh my God, how do you get all of that water in? Like, what's your trick, you know? And I will say the first, you know, even 6 weeks, I'm fortunate in a way enough to not have a job. So this is my job. But I really do just sit there. I have, you know, I'm literally, if I'm on the computer, I'm sipping. I'm like straw in mouth, forcing myself to sip. I know what time I get up. I know when I have my first meal. I make sure I get, you know, 10 to 16 ounces of water in 2 hours. And I, you know, which my surgeon told me 8 ounces of water an hour. So that's, you know, what she told me. So I have that kind of measured in my brain. But I know that in 2 hours, I'm going to be eating again. So I better get this water in. Like, I'm very regimented. I wasn't perfect this week, and it showed. Like, I felt it. I was telling our little group message that I feel really dry, and I feel like a raisin because I did not drink enough water. And I hate that feeling. So I'm paying for it now, you know. But for me, it was, you know, struggling with depression and anxiety as well. I just told myself, you have to do this. This is part of your job. You don't really get to choose not to do it. I just had tough love with myself.
And sometimes that's what we need, right? And I really like your analogy about, you know, even if we're working or not working, this is your full-time job now. And it feels like a very heavy lift, because it is a very heavy lift. But I think Jason and I can attest to the lift gets lighter and lighter and lighter. And pretty soon it's no lift at all. You just have to fight through it. So did you ladies, Becca and Ashley, did you guys hear something in this conversation that was beneficial? Did you hear something that you're going to try right now moving forward?
Just with like Natalie mentioning that she knows like what time she wakes up, what time she eats. So I think getting myself on a schedule would probably help me out a whole lot more, because then I have more structure. Because I find when I don't, I'm all over the place. And yeah. I forget to do things. I don't do things.
Yeah, my day runs like clockwork. I get up at 10 till 7 every single morning. And that's my time to get in my 10 ounces of like Gatorade Zero that I take my Miralax and stuff with. So I knock that out of the way first. Then I try to get 10 ounces of actual water down, an 11 ounce protein shake, all by 10:30, because I know by 10:30, I'm going to have my scrambled eggs, and then that's going to last me. I'll be back on the water train until 1:45 when I take my lunch, have whatever my small lunch is. Then I've got water the rest of the day until it's time for me to eat at like 5:30 or 6. Knock out, you know, my dinner, and then it's water the rest of the night. I try to get at least one more full 24 ounces in, if not, you know, that 24 bottle and then another half of that. before I go to bed that night.
Ashley, are you a digital or an analog person? Would you rather set like reminders or set timers on your phone or on paper?
Probably on paper, because I feel like if I have to put more effort into it, that I would do things more.
So this is my personal bullet journal. This is how I plan out my day. I chunk things by the hour. And you could do something very similar to this. And you would literally schedule in, okay, this is when I'm drinking. This is when I'm focusing on water. This is when I'm focusing on food.
And I just got a bullet journal, so that'll be good to.
Oh, it's my favorite tool.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, good. Becca, how about you? Are you leaving with a new idea, fresh perspective?
Yeah.
It's still hard.
Oh yeah, it definitely is.
Yes. Well, how did you do today? Did you, were you able to get in more water today?
I just finished my bottle.
Nice.
But I had 2 protein shakes today because I was kind of in a mood to just have protein shakes instead of food today.
But that, what you said is actually key. You were in a mood to just have shakes. And instead of going to like cravings or something else, you gave your body what it was asking for. That's huge.
I count that as liquid in my book. I count all.
Well, it is liquid. Oh yeah. That's a victory.
I don't just break mine down to specifically clear water. I don't. All that shit goes into it. Gatorade Zero, all that stuff. It's all fluids.
Yep. No, you're doing good.
I'd say that's a win.
Yeah, totally. That is a win. It might not feel like it, but it's a win. It's a win. And you're having conversations with yourself, which is something you've probably never done before. That's another huge, huge win. So you guys are doing awesome. You are fresh out. All 3 of you guys, you're doing well. Stay the course. It's gonna come up roses. I promise. All right, you guys, we did it. I feel like we addressed some struggles that are very common in our community. I'm glad that we got to get to that, to the one struggle that that our community sent in to us. So thank you guys so very much for listening. Thank you for watching. Huge thank you to the 3 beautiful ladies who have joined the East to West team. We would not be able to provide the support without you guys. And just so this community knows, we go live every Tuesday. I think we're switching it to 5 o'clock to do a struggle bus live with the community. So you can come on Instagram live. We have a question box. You can type in your question. We'll address it live and in the moment. We'll offer our feedback. We are just here to support you. And even if you just need to come by and say, hey, I got something to celebrate, we are thrilled to celebrate with you as well. We are here to talk about the good and the bad, the struggles and right, the ups and downs. So please come and join us, hang out with us. We're a very nice crew. We enjoy getting to know everybody.
And that's 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for those of you that don't realize.
Thank you.
Yeah, super early for some, kind of late for others. We'll be here regardless. You guys come hang out. Just enjoy the Struggle Bus Live episode, because we have a lot of fun putting it on. We love trying to help you guys as much as we can, and we appreciate all the support that we're getting, not only for this, but for everything else that we're doing. And we really appreciate it.
Yep. If you guys like what you're seeing or hearing, please like, share, subscribe to our YouTube channel, to our podcast feed, leave us a written review, leave us a rating, comment. Our whole goal here is to produce things and content that are valuable to you. We just want to add value to your life. So if we're doing that, let us know. And if there's something that you would like to see us address or talk or shed some light on, let us know as well. We are here for you. That's our sole goal in life, is to make sure that you are supported in the way that you need it. All right, you guys, that was a kick-ass episode. I'm feeling very good about the struggle.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, Jason, you want to take us out?
I do. Just remember, you guys, struggles are normal. We all have them. Everybody's, you know, nobody's alone in this. There's resources you can reach out to. Please reach out to any of us. Our Instagram handles are in the bottom of the screen for those of you watching on YouTube. Reach out to the East to West page. You know, East to West_WLS on Instagram. Just, you know, hit our direct message there. We'll be more than happy to respond to you and let you know kind of how we feel about the situation. And just remember that you've got this and we've got you, and we'll see you next time.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. See you soon. Bye-bye.